I shared several weeks ago with you in one of the messages that one of my sons came to me one day about a month ago, and he said, "Dad, what will happen if a person who has never heard about Jesus Christ, doesn't have the Bible, what will happen when that person dies? How is God going to judge that person? Will the judgment, Dad, of that person be different than from how God judges a person who has heard about Jesus and the gospel and has rejected Christ? Are there different standards that God uses to judge different people?" After I posed that question, there were several people in the congregation. A couple of them that called me on the phone. A couple that talked to me and said, "Pastor, what'd you tell them? What'd you tell them?" And I gave them a little brief answer, but I said, just be patient. Because those questions are answered in the book of Romans. And they're answered in our text this morning. If you take your Bibles and open up to Romans chapter 2, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. "Therefore, you are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For that which you judge, you condemn yourself. For you practice the very same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Or do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment on another and do the same things yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that it is the kindness of God that leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who through perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. For there will be tribulation and distress upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace on everyone who does good, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all who sin without the law will perish without the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, do instinctively those things that are in the law, these not having a law are a law unto themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately either accusing or defending them on that day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Those verses, you remember, we're in the first section in the book of Romans. And the first section deals with what? Come on, say it out.
Sin.
Sin. And in this section, in chapter 2, 1 through 16, we see that sin has consequences. And the consequences of sin is judgment. In fact, in these verses, the word judgment is used 5 times. The word to judge, the verb to judge, is used another 4 times. What's God's judgment going to be like? Will it be the same for everyone? Are there different standards that he uses for different people? All of these questions are answered in that text. And we're going to look today, I want to share with you today, 8 facts about the judgment of God. 8 facts about the judgment of God. Number 1, God's judgment will be righteous. God's judgment will be righteous. We see this in verses 1 through 5. God's judgment is right and it's righteous for 3 different reasons. First of all, because man deserves to be judged. Man deserves to be judged. You see, it shows this in verses 1 through 3, that man, we have a knowledge of right and wrong. And we know that when somebody does something wrong, they deserve to be judged. You know how we show that? We judge sin in others. Oh, how we love to judge sin in others. And what we're saying is, that's wrong what they did. And they deserve to be judged. And then what happens? We practice the same things. And you see, sin deserves to be judged. And folks, all sin will be judged. God will judge every sin. Every sin. We look around, we see somebody committing a sin, and we say, oh, they're a sinner. But as somebody has astutely said, when we point at somebody else and judge them, what? 3 fingers are pointing back at us. And God will judge all sin. And you know, when we do this, we acknowledge that we deserve to be judged. God will judge everyone. And we deserve it. We acknowledge that when we judge others. God's judgment will be righteous because God's judgment will be according to the truth. You see it there in verse 2. The NASB reads, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. But in this verse, the King James Version, if you have it, the King James Version is more literal to the text. King James Version reads, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. That's what the original says. According to truth. God's judgment is not according to hearsay. It's not according to circumstantial evidence. It's not according to gossip. It's not according to someone's opinion. It's not according even to human testimony. You remember a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even hear the outcome of this, but there was a guy down in Florida who was going to be executed for killing a cop. Did you hear about that? Anybody hear about that? The only problem was that 7 out of the 9 people that had testified at his original trial had recanted their testimonies and said they were coerced into saying that they saw him pull the trigger. Now, what's the truth? You know what? I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? God knows the truth. And God will judge every person according to the truth. And what truth is he going to use to judge? I'll tell you what truth. Jesus said this, what? Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. And the judgment of God will be according to the word of God and God's perfect knowledge of the truth. And therefore, God's judgment is righteous. It's a righteous judgment. And not only do we deserve, man deserves judgment, and God will judge according to the truth, but his judgment is righteous because it's in accordance with God's nature. Accordance with God's nature. God himself is righteous. You remember in Genesis 18, verse 25, there's a rhetorical question that's asked. And this was the question. Shall not the judge of the whole earth, what? Do right. And the answer to that is what? Of course he will. He will do right. Why? Because he can't do wrong. Because if God did wrong, he would be denying his character. And God cannot deny himself. So therefore, the judgment of God will be totally righteous. But secondly, the judgment of God will be fair. Verses 6 through 11. The judgment of God will be fair. Do you see it there in verse 6? God's judgment is according to deeds. To deeds. Who will render to each person according to his deeds. Wait, Pastor. Wait. I thought salvation was by grace. Through faith, apart from works. Apart from deeds. It is. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about judgment. And when it comes to God's judgment, it's going to be totally fair. Because God is going to judge each person according to their deeds. Now down in verses 7 through 10, he describes two groups of people that are going to be judged. And those two groups are the saved and the unsaved. Saved and unsaved. First group is found in verse 7. Do you see it there? To those who through perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. You see, folks, when we Christians, if you're a Christian and you stand before God, before Jesus Christ, to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be based on what you have done with Christ. What you've done. I'll tell you what, I thank God our sins will not be judged. Amen? Because they already were judged at the cross. But we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And what we have done with Christ will be evaluated, will be judged, and used as a basis of rewards or lack thereof of rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is to Christians. You know what it says? Listen to this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might receive recompense for the deeds done in the body, whether good or evil. Or better, I think better translation, whether good or worthless. We will stand before God one day as Christians. If you know the Lord, and you know, we all start with a $1 million foundation, don't we? No other foundation that can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. We all start out when we become Christians. And what do we build on? That's going to be evaluated. Your deeds will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be rewards down in verse 10. Those who serve the Lord and love the Lord and through perseverance do good will receive glory, honor, and peace. That's part of the rewards that we'll receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Then there's a second group that God is going to judge according to their deeds, and that's the lost. That's the lost. This is recorded, by the way, over in Revelation chapter 20. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. But the lost will stand before the Lord. Look at verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first, then also of the Greek. God's judgment will be totally fair. It'll be based on what that person has done, the deeds done of that person. Each person will be judged according to their deeds. Now, and God, it's going to be fair because God himself is impartial. Impartial. You see there, verse 11, there's no partiality with God. God's judgment is impartial because God is impartial. God is no respecter of persons. I'll tell you what, when Paul wrote this, the Jews were specific. I think they were shocked. What? The Jews thought that they were going to have some kind of special grace with God. We're God's earthly people. In fact, there were many writings that said, well, the Jews, you know, we don't have to worry about judgment. You know, we're God's special people. This was a shocker. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles and all people. God's going to be impartial. God cannot be bribed. God's not swayed by appearances. He has no prejudices. You know, they've done studies where they give pictures of, let's say, 10 pictures of different people, different races, different kinds of looking people, and they give it to people and say, which one of these do you think robbed the bank? It's amazing how people pick out certain people. Which one of these do you think is a nice person? Oh, yeah, that one. Because man judges by appearance. They did another study. They gave a picture to children of two little girls. One little girl was real cute. The other little girl was homely. And they said to the class, which one of these spilled this glass of milk? They all picked the homely little girl. See, that's how we are. Man looks on the outward and judges. But God what? Looks on the heart. And you know what? There's no partiality with God. When God judges, it's going to be totally fair. Totally fair. Third thing we can say about the judgment of God. God's judgment will be individual and universal. Individual and universal. Verses 6 through 10. Individual, it says, who will render to each person. To each person. Judgment will not be in groups. Folks, we're not going to stand before God as Faith Bible Fellowship Church. It's not going to be in a group. And we're going to stand there individually before the Lord. And there's not going to be any pointing of fingers. Why weren't you a better husband? Lord, the woman that God gave us me, if she was better, I would have been, oh, wait. She's 10 persons down the line. I'll get to her. I'm talking to you. See, it's no pass in the buck. It'll be individual. He'll render to each person. This is kind of something. Each person, sobering thought, will give an account of himself to the Lord. And yet it's individual, but it's universal. Verses 7 through 10 describe those two groups, the saved and the unsaved. And that covers who? Everybody. It covers the saints and the ain'ts. And if you ain't an ain't, you are a saint. You ain't a saint, you are an ain't. There's only two groups. There's no third group. And if you look down in verses 9 and 10, or excuse me, verse 10, the universal term, every soul, everyone. In verses 9 and 10, it mentions the Jews and the Greeks. To the Jew, there were only two kinds of people, Jews and non-Jews. And that covers everybody. So no one is going to be excused. Oh, well, you were born over in this country, and they're going to be judged. Everybody. It's universal. And yet it's individual. Number 4. God's judgment. Listen to this. will be according to the light one has. According to the light one has. And again, there's two judgments mentioned here. The first one, the standard of judgment for those who have the law. It says, for all who sin without the law shall perish without the law. All who sin under the law shall be what? Judged by the law. And it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So those who have the law, those who have the Torah, those who have the Bible, the standard of judgment will be the law of God. And all who have the light of the law will be judged by the law. And it's just not having the law. It's just not hearing the law. It's just not knowing the law that makes one right before God. It's doing the law. Now, there's only one problem, right? If you're going to get to heaven by keeping the law, what's the standard? Perfection. God doesn't grade on the curve. If you're going to get to heaven on the law, you've got to be perfect. And the problem is, no one has ever done it. Save one. Jesus. And if you have the Ten Commandments, God's standard of judgment is the Ten Commandments. You say, well, boy, I try to keep the Ten. I'm good at that. Yeah, right. Right? You ever tell a lie? No, you liar. We've all told lies. Did you ever disobey your parents? Oh, yeah, you did. I know you did. We all did. Did you ever commit adultery? Oh, that one's good. Enough. Jesus said, you've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. I say to you, every man that's looked at a woman who lusts after her, you've already committed adultery. And that's not only just for men. That's not just for men, that's for women too. Did you ever murder anybody? But Jesus said, listen, you've heard not to murder? I say if you have anger in your heart towards your brother, you've already killed him. I'll tell you what the problem is. The standard, everybody that has the law shall be judged by the law. And if you break one law, Scripture says, it's like a chain. The law's been broken. I'll tell you, that's if you have the law, you're judged by the law. But what about those who don't have the law? What about those who don't have the Bible? What about those that have never heard of the Ten Commandments? It tells us here. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness in their thoughts, alternately either accusing or defending them. Now, folks, God will not judge a person who does not have the law by the strict letter of the law. He won't do that. That would be unfair. But what he says here is this. Well, let me just say this. Everyone has, wherever you go over the world, everyone has a moral standard. If you go to Papua New Guinea with our missionaries, Jim and Kathy Tanner, you go with them, and you go back into the jungles, into a tribe, and you go and you take somebody's spear. You have a guy over here in the other spear, and you take his spear. What are you going to do? Probably get another one and run you through. Because it's not hard to take his spear. That's what? That's stealing. If you go into that tribe, and you go in, and you take another man's wife, and have sex with him, What's that man going to do? Probably can't take his spear and run you through or chop your head off. Because what? It's not right to take another man's wife. Or if you go and you assault somebody, an innocent child, and you just hurt them. Somebody, you're going to pay for that. Because it's wrong to do that. How do they know that? They don't have the Bible. They don't have the Ten Commandments. How do they know it's wrong? Because they have a moral compass that God put in them. It's called a what? Conscience. And God put a knowledge of right and wrong in them. Now their level of morality or understanding of right and wrong might not be to the level of the Judeo-Christian ethic. But they have a level of right and wrong. Everybody does all over the world. So when God judges them, He'll judge them according to that standard of life that they have. Now here's the fact, folks. Not only has no one ever lived up to the moral law of God, no one has ever kept the law perfectly except Jesus. The fact of the matter is this. No one has even ever lived up to their conscience. No one has even lived up to the standard of life that God has given them. But God will not judge them on the strict letter of the law of Scripture. He will judge them on their own light, their conscience, their thoughts, bearing witness. And alternately, either accusing them or defending them. And they'll say, listen, here's your conscience. You did wrong. All you did right here, did wrong. And that's how God will judge somebody without the law. Without the law. It'll be totally fair. It's according to the light that one has. Number five, God's judgment will be according to the gospel. Verse 16a, Paul states, on that day when according to my gospel, God will judge. Now, I want to acknowledge something here. I'm not real sure all that that means. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I searched 8 different commentaries, and none of them gave me a satisfactory explanation of this. In fact, even John MacArthur, who always gives you an explanation, whether you agree with it or not, he puts it in there. He skipped over this one. But let me say this. Certainly, that if those who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ will be based on their response to it, Paul calls it here, my gospel. Now, he may call it my gospel, in contrast to some other false message or another gospel. Remember Galatians 20 talks about that another gospel that's not a gospel at all. Maybe he's talking about the true gospel. Or maybe he calls it my gospel because he received it. He accepted the gospel. It was his personal gospel because he had accepted Jesus and was saved. But folks, God will judge according to the gospel and how people respond to it. One either accepts it or rejects it. There's no neutral position when it comes to the gospel. To postpone a decision, there are people that hear the gospel and say, well, I'll think about that. I'll think about that. That's to reject the gospel. That is to reject the gospel. There's no neutral position. Either accept it or reject it. But what about people that have never heard the gospel? And this is where the hard part comes in. What does it mean that he will judge according to the gospel? Now, again, the best answer I can come up with on that, or suggestion, is that the judgment of God on sin is found in the message of the gospel, isn't it? Jesus died for our sins. Jesus took the judgment of God that we deserved on himself on the cross. So the judgment for sin is in the gospel. And the fact that that's in the gospel, that all sin will be judged. Your sin will be judged in Jesus, or you will receive the judgment you deserve for your sin personally. That's in the gospel. It's according to the gospel. You either receive Christ and he takes that judgment, or you go before God and you're going to have to take the judgment yourself. And that's in the gospel. That's in the gospel. And in this life, God will judge everyone according to the gospel. And so it's essential that every one of us here today ask ourselves a question. Can I say, with respect to the gospel, my gospel? Can you call it my gospel? Have you received the gospel? Because somehow, God is going to judge on that day according to the gospel. Every soul. Number six, God's judgment will be thorough and perfect. Verse 16b, God will judge the secrets of men. How would you like it if our secret thoughts, all our secret desires, all our secret sins were projected up on this screen right now? There are things you know about yourself nobody else knows. I said this before, but it's true. If you knew me the way I know me, you wouldn't want to listen to my sermon. But if I knew you the way you know you, I wouldn't want to preach to you anyway. But there's no secrets with God. Like David told his son Solomon, the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Or like God told Jeremiah the prophet, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. God knows every motive, every thought, all things done behind closed doors, God knows. And as someone has said, listen to this. The best judge of a man is what he does in secret. Think about that. On that day, when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men. It is going to be thorough and perfect. Number seven. God's judgment will be through Jesus Christ. 16c. Through Jesus Christ. And Scripture confirms this. Jesus said in John 5:22, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. The central figure on the judgment day is Jesus Christ. The central figure at the judgment seat of Christ is Jesus. The central figure at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, is Jesus Christ. He is the one who will judge. Now, you can accept him now. We can accept him now and face him as our judge, but also as our Savior. Amen. We can face him as our judge, but he's our Savior. He is the judge, but he is our defense attorney. Wouldn't it be nice to go before a judge and have him as your defense attorney? our advocate. If we receive Christ, that's what it's going to be like. Or we can reject Christ now and face him as judge. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And you wonder, what? Did you ever wonder, why did God the Father commit all judgment to Jesus? Why did he do that? Well, there's an old saying that says, don't judge me until you have walked a mile in my shoes. He has. Jesus has. He came down here. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to go through hard times. He knows what it's like to live in this world. And no one will stand before him and say, you don't understand. Because he does. He does. And this judgment will be through Jesus Christ. And then number 8, lastly, God's judgment will be sure and open. Verse 16a, on that day. It refers, you can go back to verse 5, it says, in the day of wrath. That's the same day. Now the concept of the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, can mean a specific period of time. It is a time that God has set aside to judge. And we don't know when the day is, but we know one thing. The day is coming. The day is coming. It's an appointment on God's calendar. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. It is coming. Judgment is coming, and that's for sure. And that judgment is going to be open. It's never called the judgment night. It's called the day of the Lord. The day of judgment. The day of wrath. You see, men sin in the dark, but they'll be judged in the light. Men sin at night. Men love the darkness because their deeds are evil. But when God judges, it's going to be in the day. It's going to be open. The light will reveal. You see, because there's nothing that is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing that has been done in secret that, Jesus said, will be shouted from the housetop. The judgment of God is sure, and it's open. Now, conclusion. What do you say to the guy that comes to you and says, well, what about those people over in Africa that have never heard the gospel, never saw the Bible? You're not telling me that God's going to send them to hell, are you? What do you say? Let me say this to you. So that's a great question. And I want to tell you what the answer to that is. I want to guarantee you something. That when that person stands before the Lord at the judgment, God's judgment will be totally righteous. God will be totally fair. God is impartial. God is impartial. God can do no wrong, and he will be fair with that person. And God will not only be fair with that person, but God will judge that person according to the light that that person has. And God will judge that person according to the light that he has. It will be thorough judgment, perfect. No one will stand before him. That's not fair. I can guarantee you that. It happened a number of years ago, right here at this church. We were having an evangelistic car wash. And if you don't know what that is, we advertise a free car wash. have people come in and we wash their car for free. But while they're waiting, we say to them, would you mind if we would share something else with you that's free? The free love of God? And probably about 90% of them say, no, that's fine. Well, this year, we have the youth sharing the gospel with these people. And so we're having cars come in and people are actually going into the building. They came in and the youth were sitting down and sharing about Jesus with these people. I was outside, one of the youth came out, ran out and said, Pastor, you got to come in here. We're talking to this guy and he's giving us fits. He's asking us all these questions we can't answer. Come on, Pastor. Granted, by the law, we're going to take no for an answer. So I went downstairs and sat down with this gentleman. And he said, well, these two young people, they're nice kids. They've been telling me about Jesus. And they said, you know, Jesus died for sins and rose from the dead. And they told me he's the only way to God. And he said, I want to ask you a question. What about the person over in Africa or someplace that has never heard the gospel? In fact, he said, what about Plato? What about Plato? Well, Plato lived before Jesus even came to the world. You're not going to tell me that Plato went to hell, are you? I mean, he had a real big thing for Plato. He really did. I mean, And I said to him, sir, what a great question. That's a great question. But let me say something to you. I'm not the judge. God's the judge. And I want to tell you, these people that have not heard, and Plato and all that, they're going to stand before God one day. And his judgment will be totally righteous. God, I don't know how he's going to pull it off, but he'll be totally fair with these people. He will judge them according to the light that they have. It'll be perfect. There'll be no mistakes. God knows everything, and God will be totally fair with them. I'll guarantee you that. Because God can't do wrong. He's impartial. But, sir, you have heard about Jesus. These young people shared with you that Jesus died for your sins. And Jesus rose from the dead. And you need to believe on Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Because one day you're going to be asking, what will he do with me? You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, I never heard. You heard. What are you going to do with Jesus? I'll never forget what he said. First of all, his mouth kind of went like this. And he just kind of was like frozen there. And then he said these words. I have frozen foods in the trunk of my car, and I've got to get out of here. He ran out. And I thought, you know, I hope and pray that that man receive Christ. But you know what? Can you imagine him on Judgment Day and Jesus saying, yeah, why didn't you receive me? But Lord, I have frozen food in my trunk. That doesn't cut it. You see, a lot of times when people ask that question about the heathen or about people there, it's a smokescreen. It's a diversion. Tell them the truth. God will judge them totally fairly. What about you? What about you? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Because one day you will be asking, what will he do with me?